You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, good morning. I just wanted to share with you a little workout routine. I actually got a little bit interrupted in my workout last night, but we got to eat a good lasagna dinner. So I thought I'd join you in riding my bike. And obviously I'm not getting anywhere, but I like to ride a bike. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love doing it just for fun. Certainly it's a healthy thing. Living as close as I do to this building, I can ride my bike to work. And from my house, and so it's a fun thing to do. It's great. We have this exercise bike is usually in our basement, and I guess it's called a spinning bike now because that's what you do. You spin. You don't bike. But this is something we do. Like our kids will sometimes get on this. We have a TV in the basement, and they're allowed to watch TV as long as they're exercising. So it's either this or the treadmill, or I guess we have a stair climber thing too. But we ride bikes for fun. I think that's safe to say that most of us do. If you ride a bike at all, it's for fun, it's for pleasure. It certainly is a healthy thing to do. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. You know, that makes sense. There's probably plenty of ways that you can get exercise, including, like, I don't know, the cha-cha slide, things like that. But riding a bike is a healthy thing to do for fun. But I want you to understand something. And that is that this seat is not set right. I'm going to fall over. I'm going back down. This is not something we need. And as you look at me riding my bike, you know, I always think about Victor and Leti, who are in Oaxaca, Mexico at Trigo y Miel, where we partner with them. And I always think about Victor, you know, especially when I go to like Lowe's and I buy dirt in a bag. And I'm always thinking, like, what would Victor say if he saw that I went into a store and bought a bag of dirt? We have plenty of dirt! Why do you buy dirt? Por qué? But I also think about Victor if he were to see me on this thing going, you're not going anywhere. What's the point? And my answer is we do it for fun. But I want you to understand that there are people and cultures that can't just bike for fun. They need a bike to survive. A bike is a way of life for them. So go ahead and watch this short video. So this isn't meant to be a commercial for World Bicycle Relief. I really don't know much about them except that they give bikes to people that need them. Sanctioning them, or maybe they're great, maybe they're not, I don't know. But I think the key and what you see in that video is that for people like George and Royce, a bike is a necessity. A bike is part of their way of life. And for us, we have bikes and we use them for pleasure, and maybe we actually get somewhere with them. Maybe we just sit there and spin our wheels and don't go anywhere. And just to make that distinction between something that we use for pleasure is something that other people use and participate in and use as a way of life. And I want you to understand something. We're going through this series called Church Club. We're wrapping it up today. And we've been looking at the C3 process, which I'll come back to in a little bit. And in this process, the third part of it is what we call caring. And I think there are too many people, myself included, that fit into this category, that are followers of Jesus and see serving as something we do for pleasure, not something that we do as a way of life, where Jesus has called us to serve as a way of life, not doing it when we feel like it, not when we have time, but that everything we do is about serving. And so here's the point that I want you to get this week as we've been kind of tying together this idea of what a club is and what the church is and how they're different. And that's this. And in a club, people may do a service project to feel good. But in the church, people serve as a way of life. And I want us to get that as we talk about what does it mean to serve? Because a lot of times serving is this thing that we're like, oh, that'll make me feel good. You know, that'll be neat. It'll be swell. I've got some extra time. I've got 3 or 4 hours to kill here, and I've planned this months and months in advance. So, you know, I'm going to serve now. I'm going to be a good Jesus to everyone around me by serving in this moment that I've chosen at my convenience. And that's not bad. But that's not what the church is called to be. The church is called to serve as a way of life in everything that they do. In every area they find themselves, we are called to serve other people. And there's nothing wrong with doing a service project. And certainly, it is great to feel good by serving others. I think that's okay. But if we're doing it for that purpose, we have missed what Jesus is called to be as his followers. We have missed out on what we're supposed to be as his church. And even, you know, even missions trips. You know, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we go to Oaxaca regularly. We've done, I think, 5 teams that have gone to Oaxaca and in the almost 7 years of MC3's existence. And, we have a vetting process. There's an application. We want to make sure that we're all going for the right reasons. But I can tell you, I can assure you, there are people in this room that have served with me, not in Oaxaca, but on other missions trips. And all of them are going like, yep. Where they are just there because it's a fun thing to do. Maybe it's, hey, it's a vacation to another country. Or, it just makes them feel good for helping someone. Yay, me, we're so wonderful, look at me. And that's missing out what God has called us to do. And so I want to look at this passage that at this point is extremely familiar. And I could not fix this seat. So I'm going to have to get off this bike because I can't lean over like that. Dude, I'm like 41. I think I'm 41. Yeah, I'm 41, and that doesn't work that long. So here's the passage. We have looked at a lot. I can't get my feet out of these things either. It's got to stop. So awkward pause to transition. Okay. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. We have been looking at this passage over the last 4 weeks, and today I'm going to really kind of go into it and get in depth at what is being said here. And this passage is where we said as a church plant team, as a group of people saying, you know, we really feel like God is calling us and to plant, to start a church for the needs of next generations in Mifflin County, to reach people that are not from church, that are not church people. And we said, if we're going to start a church, what is that going to look like? And so we said, what if we look at how the first church did their thing and try to model what we do based upon that. And so we looked at this passage in Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, and kind of pulled out some things, which we'll come back to. Well, that's messy. We'll come back to in a little bit. But this is the passage, and we said, if we're going to do church, let's do it the way they did it and do our best, because we're not perfect. We're not going to get it right. And, you know, do our best to try to model that as our design for who we are as a church, for what we do. And again, if you've been here at MC3 if you've been here for a year, you've heard this multiple times. If you've been here from the beginning, you've heard this a dozen times or more, because this is who we are and why we do what we do. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it says, they, meaning the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so I want to just pull this apart a little bit. And actually, we're going to be looking at this passage. I'm sorry, I meant to say you can turn the house lights on. If you have a paper Bible, you can look at that, Acts chapter 2. If you have the free YouVersion app, tap on New Testament and tap on Acts, which is the 5th book down there, and then tap on chapter 2. And then tap on verse 42. So I want to pull this apart a little bit, but talk about this idea of spinning our wheels and how we can kind of get into this pleasure mindset when it comes to serving and miss what Jesus has called us to do and miss out on how Jesus and how he has called us to be as a church. And the problem is we feel good by doing the pleasure thing. And so we're kind of like, hey, that's not bad. Yay me. Pat me on the back, God, right? And God is pleased when we serve him. Don't get me wrong. And it is okay, as I said already, it is acceptable and expected that we receive joy from serving others. But if that is our goal, then it messes up our mindset. We end up just spinning our wheels, not actually getting where we want to go. So I want to stop spinning our wheels. Next slide there. So caring should be a way of life. If George didn't have his bike, it would totally change his ability to provide for his family, his ability to function. Certainly, if Royce didn't have her bike, she wouldn't be able to treat. I mean, people could be literally dying because she needs that bike. It's part of her life. And serving as followers of Jesus should be the same. So, serving or caring as a way of life. It starts in our attitude, which should be like Jesus. Our attitude, when this is the first step, everything else doesn't matter if we don't get our attitude right. If we don't get a Jesus-like attitude of serving. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, well, let me catch you up here. It says they devoted themselves, which we talked about this previously. But this word devoted means they were in. This early church was in it. They remained. The word literally means to endure with. They endured together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which we talked about last week, which is the idea of congregation and worship. And to fellowship, which is this word meaning having everything in common. And we'll come back to that in a second. And we talked about that the second week of the series with community. And if you did not hear any of these things, you can go to mc3church.org, click on listen to the point, and you can listen to the first 3 weeks of this series, because I'm catching you up a little bit, so you might feel a little lost right now if you haven't been here. And then it says to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And these people spent time together. Everyone was filled with awe. Everyone was excited. They were amazed. And I love this word. It means amazement, astonishment. Everyone's like, what is going on here? This church thing is doing something. And it says many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So these guys were like, this is for real. This is the real deal. This isn't a joke. This is the church. And then in verse 44, it says all the believers were together and had everything in common. So before we get into how the church served, how we are supposed to serve, it says that they had an attitude issue, and not an issue in a bad way, but in a good way. They were together and they had everything in common. They it wasn't mine or yours. It was us. We're in this together. And so it's not about my stuff or my money or my time. It's about how can we use our things for the benefit of one another, for the benefit of the world around us. And that's not a, hey, this feels good mindset, because it's feels good mindset says, you know what, I've got a little bit of extra money this month. And unlike normal, I'm not going to use it on myself, because I'm going to be impressive to God, and I'm going to help out that person. Here you go. Here's $10. Don't spend it all in one place now. God, aren't you so proud of me? I'm such a great person. And we put this box on our serving into like, oh, I've got time, I've got space, so I'm going to do it. And that's not the attitude the early church had. It wasn't about mine and my extra and what I've got. It was like, we are in this together. They had everything in common. And the Greek, this was written in Greek. That was the language they spoke when it was originally written. And it means common, ordinary, belonging to many. And here's an interesting thing about this word. It actually is the opposite of holy. And bear with me here. If you were here, I don't know, in the last one of these last few weeks, maybe it was during the fruit series, we talk about this word holy, which means set apart. It means made, set differently. It's set out so that nothing else is using it the same way. And Jesus says we are supposed to be holy. He is making us holy. So we are unique. We are different. We stand out. And so here the early church, it wasn't saying that they were sinful. Again, the word holy doesn't mean clean and pure and sinless. It means unique, set apart. And it said that they were just the opposite. They weren't set apart to themselves. They weren't like, nope, sorry, I'm too important. As we talked about last week, they weren't putting their chairs. Where's the chair? It's over there. They weren't putting their chairs aside and saying, no, this chair is devoted to the Lord. Sorry, I can't help you. If you weren't here, you can listen to that. But it says they had everything in common. It was together. It was ours. It was us. It was we. And that was an attitude change. And in case you didn't get that, Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi. He planted this church, the Apostle Paul. He planted this church in an area called Philippi, and he wrote this letter to them called Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, this is what he says to this church. He says, don't be selfish. It's not about me. It's not about mine. It's not about my time patting myself on the back. Don't try to impress others. Instagram moment, me, look how great I am. Here's a little child that I'm holding on my lap. Don't try to impress others. He says, be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Come on, culture. Come on, world. Let's drop the Facebook, drop the Instagram, stop pinning and saying how great we are and say, you know what? What if my mindset wasn't about me and about my doing my thing when it's comfortable, but said, you know what? I'm looking at others first. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then he goes on to share about how Christ sacrificed his own life for us on the cross. And so when it comes to serving, when it comes to caring for others, when it comes to this idea of being the church, we need to say, you know what? I'm going to be putting others first. I'm not interested in my stuff. I want to have Jesus' attitude. I want to have an attitude that says it's all of our things. We're together. We're all in this together. And it starts with that attitude. Everything else I'm going to talk about doesn't work if that is not our attitude. And that attitude, as Jesus had, was of sacrifice. And so if serving is a way of life, there are going to be times when it's not convenient. There are going to be times when you might have to give up something so that you can help someone else. There are going to be those moments where we're going to have to do that because that is the attitude of Jesus and that is what serving is supposed to look like. That is who we are supposed to be as the church. So understand that. And we're not perfect. We're not Jesus. We're going to mess it up. I mess it up all the time. But we need to make sure that serving is a way of life. Caring is a way of life. And it starts with our attitude, which should be like Jesus. The second thing is that then it spreads to our church. It spreads to the church where we meet needs. So they started with this attitude, said, we're all in this together. We're not doing it on our own terms. We're not doing it just for fun. This is life for us. This is who we are. And in doing that, then all of a sudden they start meeting needs. And that's what verse 45 goes on. It says, selling their possessions and goods. Selling their possessions and goods so that they could get more cash so they could hook themselves up with a nice ride. And that was the early church. They were riding around in their chariots with their bling, doing their thing, being awesome. Or we could look at what the Bible says. They sold their possession and goods so that they gave to anyone as he had need. They sacrificed their stuff for the sake of a need of another person. Why? Because they had an attitude that says it's about serving. It's about caring. It's about having a sacrificial attitude. And so they sold their stuff and met needs. And that's, I mean, the Greek word here, the word for needs is someone that has a need. And those needs can be all over the place. You know, we like to think, especially when it comes to church. I mean, we were talking about this the other night in Prime Group, you know, that, oh, well, that's referring to missions. So someday in my life, I need to go on a missions trip. I need to go to some other country and, you know, give a kid a bag or a tract and tell them about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But serving is everywhere. Needs are all around us. I am telling you right now, any person you can physically touch without moving your butt right in this moment has needs. And some of those needs are physical. Some of those needs are, you know, wow, I really could use a washing machine. I could use a bike. Some of those needs are emotional. They haven't had anyone just encourage them in a long time. Some of those needs are just purely just, I really could help have someone help me think through this. Some people just need to be loved. I mean, there are needs all around us. And so this attitude of the church, this attitude of the early church says, you know, we see a need, and this is just one example. They sold their stuff and said, how can I meet your need? You have a need? All right, I'm going to get rid of this and get rid of this so that you can have that. Because it was about being together. It was about this attitude where they were one, where they are connected. And so it wasn't an issue of feeling good or doing it just for pleasure, because I don't know about you, but it seemed to imply here in this passage that they didn't just sell the stuff they didn't want. They didn't give away their yard sale junk. They sold stuff that was important to them because there was a need. And it's easy to do our yard sale junk. I didn't want that anyway. But that is not how the church, the early church, worked. They were like, no, there's a need. And we're going to sacrifice something that we have, something that we want, for the sake of someone else. The problem or the challenge in that, when you start meeting needs, is it gets messy. It gets messy because, you know what, and I mean, this is dressed up, you know, MC3, we are not fancy here. And, you know, we talked about this last week about the fancy Sunday morning and how churches polish up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a whole lot easier to be more real when you're more real. It's a whole lot easier to be authentic when you're just kind of out there. And here's the thing that I have learned. I'm in my, 20-somethingth year of full-time ministry. Real is messy. Real is ugly. I'm just confessing to all of you, there are times where I'm just like, can't we all just wear suits and I don't have to know what anybody's problems are? There are times like that for ministry at MC3 for me. I'm like, it was easier just to pretend like everything was good. And so when we meet needs, it gets messy. And there's a tendency here to be like, I don't want to get into that. And so we avoid it. And we say things like, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray for you. And if you're actually praying, dude, if you're calling the God of the universe to help them out, that is awesome. But if that is just your pat answer so you don't actually have to do anything, then you've missed what Jesus has called us to be as his servants, as serving others, as caring for other people. In James, he talks about this way. He says, what good is it in James chapter 2, dear brothers and sisters, what good is it if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? He said, can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say to them, goodbye and have a good day. Be warm, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give them, that person, any food or clothing? What good does that do? See, he says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. See, we aren't just called to say, well, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'm really sorry about that. We're called to say, I am sorry about that. How much do you need? I am sorry about that. I don't have it right now, but can I go sell something and help you out? I am sorry about that, but I've got something, but I'm going to cancel that so we can just talk. And I get there's responsibilities. Oh, what happened? I got fired. Why? Well, my pastor said I just need to drop everything and serve people. And I don't know, maybe you need to get fired. I don't know. But understand, like, that's that attitude. It's not saying, well, hope things work out for you. Better luck next time. But saying, I'm going to step into the mess and meet needs. I'm not just doing it when it's fun and for pleasure, but I'm doing it as a way of life, as a way of survival, as the way that Jesus has called us to live. And so James says, you know what? Don't just say it. Do something about it. That is what we have been called to do. That is what the church is supposed to do. That is who we are supposed to be, MC3. And I'm saying all this to be clear, knowing that you guys rock this. It's true. Like, here's a need. We have people fighting. We have people fighting over the meal makers list. Okay? Because if you're not on Facebook and someone has a baby or has surgery, and you're not on Facebook at the exact moment that's posted, you've got like 3 minutes and the whole list is full. And, like, there's waiting lists now. There's like, hey, people are bribing Kara to get to the top of the list. Hey, here, can I get to the top of that list? Like, that kind of stuff happens. We say, hey, we need to serve a funeral meal for 200 to 300 people. 6 hours later, we've got 21 crockpots of spaghetti. Like, here's a financial need. It gets met. We say we want to send a girl to college in Oaxaca. It's going to be thousands of dollars. Boom. A few weeks later, it's covered. So understand, I'm not saying this in a condescending, critical way, but just saying this is the reality of who we're called to be. And that's to meet needs. And that's the, when we get to the needs, they're going to be messy. And so we can't just say things. We actually have to do something about it. So it starts with our attitude. It spreads to our church. And then it scatters to our world when we don't give up. Because it's easy. I shouldn't say it's easy. Because serving, because caring for needs is messy, it's hard. And it's easier to stop. It's easier to give up. It's easier to be like, you know what? I don't really need the bike. I'm just going to get to it when I have a chance. I'm going to ride it for pleasure. It's easy to stop. But if we keep going, it is going to not just impact those that we are connected to in this building, in this church, but to our neighbors. And not just to our neighbors that we are connected to, because many of you are here, and I'm not kidding, many of you are in this building today because someone reached out to you and probably didn't just give you an invite to church, but said, hey, I'm serving you, and here's a way. Well, what's this all about? Well, let me tell you. And when we do that, all of a sudden, like the pieces, the scatters, the remnants, the pieces and particles are spreading everywhere. It's like a disease. We start infecting this world when we are serving with that attitude. When we are serving like Jesus. When serving is a way of life. And this is what that says in Acts 2, verses 46 to 47 then. Going on, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We talked about that last week. That's what we call C2 congregation. They broke bread in their homes. We talked about that the first week, C1 community. And ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God. Back to worship from last week. And then it says, and enjoying the favor of all the people. Everyone. This isn't just everybody that was a part of this thing was having a good time. It was everyone. Everybody was waking up in Jerusalem going, what is going on? What is this thing that is happening? Because this is great. All of a sudden, these group of people called themselves followers of Jesus, and they mocked them and said, we're going to call them Christians. And all of a sudden, these followers of Jesus, these Christian people they're rocking everything. They're changing things. They're living in a different way. They're loving people. They're serving people. They're meeting needs. There used to be a bunch of poor people, and now they're not. Where do they go? Oh, it's that church again. These people are gathering together and they're impacting those around them, and they're making a difference in their lives, and they're actually meeting needs and not doing like the Pharisees were. We talked about them last week. They were standing back and being like, no, I'm too spiritual to actually help you. What is going on here? The community, the town, the city is shocked because the church is being who Jesus has called them to be, because the church is doing what Jesus has called us to do. And it says, and then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And again, just as the church keeps doing this, more and more people were being drawn in. And they weren't being drawn into some sort of a club. And again, the first week of this series, I hammered that. This is not a club. If you're looking for a club, you're in the wrong place. But all of a sudden, these people, they were different. And all of a sudden, that difference started to attract more and more people, not to a club, but to Jesus and to the fact that he offers hope. He offers rescue, which is what the Greek word means there. He offered to rescue everyone, to save us from our sin. That is worth it. That makes all of this worth it. That makes the sacrifice worth it. That makes the attitude worth it. That makes caring for others worth it, because Jesus is the only thing that's going to last and it's going to matter. And so it said the entire community, they enjoyed the favor of everybody because they were doing what they were doing. But again, it becomes easy to give up. It becomes easy to be like, this is hard, because it's hard. I'm telling you, I mean, again, it's easier to be fake. It's easier to stand off at a distance. It's frankly easier just to throw money somewhere, write a check. But it's messy and hard to get into people's lives and to start serving them and caring for them, not when it's convenient, not as a pleasure thing, like, oh, I feel good about this, but as a way of life. And so this is what Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He planted a church there as well. And he says, let us not become weary in doing good. He says, look, don't give up. Don't give up on this church. And I'll say that to us. You know, we've been doing some pretty cool things. And it's easy to be like, well, we did our thing. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I'm worn out. And there's time for rest. We're actually going to do a series in January all about rest. And that's important. But sometimes we just want to give up and we shouldn't. And I'll tell you what, dude, I was there about 4 weeks ago. I was ready to walk away from this. Just too much junk, too much real, too much raw. Too much like, okay, God, this is someone else's church to take over. I mean, it's not my church to begin with, but at least to take point leadership. And I mean, I share with the elders, like, guys, I need something. I need some space. I need some prayer. I need some help. And then just a couple weeks ago, I mean, this last week was an incredible week where we got to see this church, like, there's a need, boom, we're going to meet it. We got to share God moments in our prime group and hearing what God is doing in people's hearts and hearing the passion and the excitement for Jesus. And it's like, God, whoa, I almost gave up on you. I almost gave up on this. Thank you for giving me what I need to get through that rough patch. Because God is doing incredible things. And it's easy to become weary in doing good. And I just want to say that to you. If you're like, I'm just tired. I want to quit. Don't give up. If you need a break, if you need a rest, there's ways to do that, but don't just walk away. Don't become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. He says, the time will come when you'll get to see that and experience that. And that is one of the things that we have said as elders at our elders' meetings every month as we talk about it. Elders, by the way, is just a fancy name for the church leaders. That we get to see the results of what's going on here. And God does not promise us that. I just want you to know that. I mean, if you're hearing God moments in your prime groups, if you're hearing the stories of what God is doing here from up front, from the elders, whatever, like, God doesn't promise us that. Sometimes we live lives like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, like, he was called the weeping prophet because his life was miserable. There are times where we don't get to see it. Like Moses, who spent his entire life fighting with the Israelites, he messed up and never got to go to the promised land himself. But to be able to see what God is doing is so incredible. And so Paul says, look, don't give up. You will see the benefit. Maybe not now, but eventually. And maybe you will never even know what you have done by serving someone. They may never show up on a Sunday morning. They may never come back to thank you. But if we're serving, God's doing stuff. And God is working in hearts. And God is changing people in ways that we'll never be able to see. So don't give up. And he goes on and says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Because caring should be a way of life. If it's a way of life, it starts in our attitude, it spreads to our church, and it scatters to our world. And this is what we call at MC3, C3, caring. And the point that I want you to get is understanding the difference between a club and a church. And, you know, your experience here, we hope it's the church side, not the club side. Your experience other places, you know, I can't vouch for what those things are, but for us, in a club, people attend when it's wrong slide. Huh. There we go. What do you have next? Yeah, that's not the right one. That was last week. So let me tell you what it says. And that is in the club. People may do a service product to feel good. Go to the next slide. But in the church, people serve as a way of life. So, there's this process. The very first week of this series, we talked about this. We wanted to give everybody a way. Who is MC3? Why do we do what we do? It comes out of Acts 2, as I've already said. And looking at what is the church supposed to be? If we're going to start a church, we feel like God is leading us. What is that going to look like? And so we came up with this process that we call the C3 process because there are three C's in this process. And conveniently, our name is Mifflin County Community Church, which is also three C's, and if you also notice the logo, which we don't have anywhere here, but those C's have arrows because it's a process. And so we've talked about these three different things, and the three things we saw from Acts chapter 2 was this idea of C1, which we call community, and how the early church, they were in each other's lives. They were together. They met in homes. They shared life with each other. They didn't just show up on a Sunday morning and look at the back of someone else's head. They were facing other people. And in connection, in relationships, in community with one another. And so as a church, we have a ministry for that called Prime Groups. And you've heard a lot about that already, where you can plug in and be in a group where you meet other people. And they know what's going on in your life, and you know what's going on in their life. And it's a little messy, it's a little scary, but it's real, and it's what Jesus has called us to be. Then the second thing that we saw in this C3 process, we saw that the church gathered together to worship and to learn from the apostles' teaching. And so that is what we have here. This is the C2, which we call congregation, gathering together as a large group. And so we are gathered together to worship God. And we talked all about that last week. And is the cha-cha slide worship? No. Just be clear, it is not. But if we're trying to draw in people that don't know Jesus, and we say, hey, let's have some fun, because it's okay to have fun, that is biblical. And have them go, hey, this is kind of cool. Maybe I want to hear more about this Jesus. Then I think that's a win. And so gathering together to worship, and so we try to make an environment where people can come in that have not had any church experience and feel somewhat comfortable. Because worship is weird. It is not anything you find outside of like a Bon Jovi concert. You know, okay, what's something more contemporary? I don't know. Def Leppard. No. No, you know, I mean, like, and again, now I'm going to age myself again, but once upon a time, people would hold up lighters. You know, that was the thing in the concert. Thank you. I'm feeling much better, Trish. now I get hold up your phones and stuff. But like, And that's the only thing that you kind of experience outside of what church worship is. So we want to kind of create an environment that's okay for learning what worship is and how to express our gratitude to the creator of the universe that died for us. And so that's C2, congregation. And we have this worship experience. And then C3, which is caring. And that's the third C. That's what we talked about this morning, this idea of caring for others and meeting needs. And we have what we call C3 scribbled. C3 opportunities. I think click on it once, something will happen. Yeah, it does. Ooh, C3 Opportunities. And there's a little C3 Opportunities logo. And C3 Opportunities are just this idea of serving other people. And so if this is your first time hearing this process, we don't do anything else on purpose so that we can focus on doing these three things, community, congregation, and caring, and doing them well. And again, we had it on a napkin. So if somebody says, hey, what's your church all about? Let me tell you. It starts with three C's. It comes out of Acts chapter 2. And the other cool thing about this is that Jesus said there were two commandments. Someone asked Jesus. They were trying to catch him. They were trying to get him in trouble. And he said, Jesus, what would you say is the greatest commandment? And he said, oh, that's easy. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with everything you've got. And he said, the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. And so that's who we are. That's what we do. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the C3 opportunities, some of the caring things that exist here as a church and kind of exist for you as a human being, as a follower of Jesus. And so I'm pretty sure that I something messed up. So I don't know what you've got next because what I have next is wrong. So click on that. Let's see what we've got. Okay, that's right. All right. So this idea of C3 opportunities, and looking at this thing that I'm just kind of wing right now, there are three different things we talked about: our attitude, our church, and our world. So let's look at some of the things related to our attitude. When it comes to C3 opportunities, caring for others, and C3 opportunities is a big umbrella which covers a lot of things. The first thing with our attitude is seeing and meeting needs. And this is that attitude change. This is you saying, I see a need and I am going to meet it. And this is kind of one of the jokes that we've talked about here. And especially as a pastor, you know, people come to me, Pastor, my name is Sean. Just call me Sean. Pastor. Okay, whatever. Then they'll be like, my neighbor really needs help with mowing their lawn. Okay. Do you have a lawnmower? Yes. Can you push it? Yes. Do you have gas? Yes. Thanks for sharing. Like, and I just say that not because that's the mentality a lot of times in church. Our church needs to do something about this. You are the church. You do something about it. That's this attitude. This attitude says, I see a need and I'm going to meet it. If your neighbor, if your friend is you know, across the street and carrying groceries, and there's a little old lady and she needs help carrying her groceries, don't call the church and say, hey, Sean, you better do something about this. No, you step up and serve. And then the cool thing about this is that it starts with you, but maybe there are needs that you can't handle by yourself. You know, my coworker needs help with their lawn, and they live on 72 acres. And she is in ill health, and therefore no one has been able to cut out the bramble, is that a word, on their driveway, so she can't even get to her house. That's probably bigger than a one-person job. And so that's the moment where we say, hey, you go to your prime group and talk to your prime group leader and say, look, here's the deal. And they don't have to accept this. They don't have to just be like, yeah, we're doing it. There's a lot of different things. But say, here's the deal. My coworker needs some help with her brambles. And your prime group can say, yeah, you know what? That's an opportunity. We can do that. So your prime group comes together and you get your bramble beaters and fight the brambles so that your neighbor can get to her house. Coworker, I guess it was, wasn't in that story. Because then we say, how can we go to the next thing there? I said, then it goes to your prime group. Then to prime. So if it's something you get, then there are sometimes things that are just bigger than even a prime group. And most of them stop at that level. I want you to know that. Most of them do. It's just the way it is. But sometimes, you know, there is a significant need. And at that point, the prime group leaders usually come to me or they'll come to Jason and say, hey, here's a need. Is this something we could do? And sometimes we say, you know what, I don't think we could do that. I don't own a Ninja. And I'm not talking about the motorcycle. But Eric does. No, a Ninja. So, well, we could meet that need if you needed a Ninja for something. But you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we'll be like, yeah, let's do that. And so we will share that need across to the body and say, hey, here's a need. But it's not going to come here first. It's going to be you meeting those needs first. So it starts with you, then to Prime, and then to MC3. And I just want you to know that's how it works. And I'm going to be quick to deflect. What have you done about it? And some people have walked away from that going, oh, that pastor doesn't care about anybody. I hate this church. Fine. I do care. And I care about you being Jesus to your neighbors as the church and to your coworkers and to your family and to your friends, because that's what we're called to be. So it starts with our attitude, seeing and meeting needs, which is you, then goes to your prime group leader, then goes to MC3. And of course, if there are needs that you're not in a prime group, you won't be able to be a part of those things. And if you feel a little bit guilty about that, I'm okay, because you're missing out on a key component of who we are as a church. And there are times where people have been like, whoa, like that was one of the jokes. Like at first we were so small that everybody knew what was going on in everybody else's lives. And then it got to the point where we're like, how did that person get help? Oh, well, their prime group helped them. Well, I didn't know about that. And there's so many things that happen that I'm the pastor and I don't even know about. And that's okay, because that's the church being the church. So understand, it's this attitude that says, we see a need and we're going to meet it. We're going to do our best. And again, that's not always every case. And that's also being real. That's also being real. For example, if someone came to you who is a known alcoholic and said, I need help getting more booze, there are times where you say, no, I'm not going to help you with that. But maybe you say, but let me help you with recovery. Let me help you. Here's some people I know. Here's an organization that can help you. I will go with you to a meeting, because that is meeting some of the needs that are really there. Do you follow me? So there are times we say no, and that's a good thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing is coming when it comes to our church. And that is serving at MC3. If you are sitting and you are not serving in a ministry at MC3, you need to be. Not because we need you, because we do, but because you need to. You need to serve your brothers and sisters, this body that you are a part of. And so let me just run through quickly some ways that you can serve at MC3 if you are not already plugged in. First of all, we have Ignition, where right now kids, well, all the way from nursery, but preschool all the way up through fifth grade, are learning the exact same thing that you're learning in here. They are learning that in a club, people may serve to feel good. And that in a church, we need to serve as a way of life. They're learning that same thing. They're learning it through games. They're learning it through some teachers up there. They're learning it through sitting around and discussing it. And they're learning the verse, which is from Acts chapter 2. So your kids are learning the same thing. And the reason we do that, by the way, this is an aside, is so that you as parents, who are biblically, you're the ones responsible for discipling your kids. It is not the church's responsibility. We're here to help you and come alongside. But then you can get in the car and say, what did you learn about today? And you don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder, what did they learn about? Hey, well, let's talk a little bit more about Acts chapter 2. What do you think it was like for them to serve together? How do you think it felt when they had to sell their stuff and give something away? Is there something you would be willing to sell to give away to someone else? Boom, conversations are beginning about what God is teaching you as an adult and your kids. But anyway, in Ignition, so that's one way to serve. In Ignition, we need teachers. We need people to teach these kids. Some of them, you know, depending on your ages, of the kids, you know, some they definitely are teaching a preschooler differently than you're teaching a fifth grader. But we need people that are willing to do that. We need people that are willing to lead a game. Oh, I'm not a teacher. Can you lead a game? We'll even give you a whistle. There's a room dedicated, we call it the Acceleration Station, where the kids actually rotate upstairs. And they'll play a game related to the point. They're playing a game today. I don't know what today's game is. And then, and we need people to lead that. It's an empty room, padded floor, nothing to break, except for a window. But maybe that's your thing. You know, that's a way to serve. And I need to go faster here. We need people just to hang out with kids. In what we call prime time, which is where they have their kind of small group as kids, where they discuss the verse and they talk about what does that mean. And we need people just to sit with them and talk through that. You don't need to be an expert. You don't even need to know. I mean, basically, you just need to know how to read the verse. And maybe not even that. I'm sure someone could tell you what the verse says. But just to be there and listen to kids. It doesn't require any skill. And maybe that's a way you could serve. Going faster. We need people to administrate. There's all sorts of things going on. We have a background check process for our leaders. We have the check-in and check-out process for the safety of our kids, for your safety as parents, to make sure that everything is good. And that requires administration and planning and follow-up. We could use people to do that. We could use painters and decorators. Michelle is always talking about, like, oh, I want to get that room, kind of make it look a little bit more like our Wilson's Garage theme, which is the theme we have for Ignition. If you can do that, maybe you're not into kids, maybe they want to be near the kids. We could schedule a time where there's no kids, and you could come in and make one of the kids' bays. We call them bays because it's a garage. Make one of the kids' bays a little bit fancier. What else? Going faster. We need people just to hold babies and maybe just give them a taste of this is the beginning of what church is like. This is the beginning of experiencing God's love because you're holding a baby in the nursery so that their parents are also in here able to grow and learn from the Word of God. So that's Ignition. If you're interested in helping with Ignition, you can talk to Michelle, who is not here this week, but Tiffany is here. She's, or talk to anybody in a green Ignition shirt. They're bright green. If you don't see them, you haven't looked hard enough, and find out who Tiffany is, and she can help you get plugged into that. Going faster here. First impressions. That's the people in the orange shirts, the high shirts. They're the ones that make sure that the building is safe and secure. They get you directed to parking, which I just want to say, if you're like, people know how to park. I was here a few weeks ago, and there was an event, and there was no one to park, and no one knew what to do. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are people, like, honestly, there was one person just driving in a circle, waiting until someone else parked so they can kind of get a feel for where they're supposed to go. And they're out there because they want to make people feel welcome. And we just posted baptism videos last week where Jody shared her story of following Jesus and how she came here and she wanted to leave. But there was someone there to welcome her at the parking lot. Say, hey, we're glad to have you. And so she couldn't turn around, and months later ends up getting baptized. That's awesome. So that's how first impressions. They're in the orange shirts. They're here to make people feel welcome. And so other things. Maybe you're just a happy person. And people are like, you're just a nice person. Join our first impressions team because I'm not a happy person. I have to be intentional about smiling. There's a phrase for it, but I'm not going to say it because there's an inappropriate word in it. But it's three letters. Anyway, but we need people that are good at that. Say, making other people feel welcome. Because we are glad you're here. Because you have an opportunity to connect with Jesus. And that's what makes it worth it. All right, what else do we have here with first impressions? Again, people to help with park. Maybe you're just good at relating to people. Maybe you're just good at that. Maybe you're good at observing and being a part of, you know, here's some of the processes. I'm keeping an eye on what's going on. Are the doors locked where they need to be? Or is everybody in the rooms that they need to be in? You know, is anybody acting weird? Does anybody need a doctor? Does anybody need a mop? You know, like those are all important things. That's what first impressions handles. And maybe you need a doctor and a mop, you know, depending on how bad your day was. And then we need people, you know, even to make coffee. And you're like, how can coffee be that big of a deal? Just ask the people that were very quick to let me know when we did not have coffee 3 weeks ago. Everybody's a little bit on edge a little bit more because there's no coffee. You know, what's going on? And it's just a simple way to say, hey, you know what? Welcome. Get some coffee. Come in and relax. This is your first time in church ever. We're glad to have you here. And coffee's awesome. So that's good, too. So that's first impressions. If you're interested in that, you can see anybody in the high, bright orange high shirts. Aaron, who is out there, keeping an eye on things. He's watching me right now. See, now he's waving at me because he can hear me. But talk to them, and they can get you in touch with David, who's in charge of our first impressions team. That is a way to get plugged in here and serving at MC3. Wow, it's late. Okay, media. Our media team back there. We can use people to run the soundboard. We got Robert starting out today. We're glad to have you here with us, Robert, serving back on the soundboard, making the band sound awesome, and making it so that the worship, as we talked about last week, isn't a distraction to you. So that you can hear and sing and clearly. We need media people to run the computer and be a part of that. And it's not that hard. It's kind of fun. It's kind of a big deal, too. And if that's some way you can serve. We're looking at people to help edit videos. Maybe you don't want to be anywhere in a public setting. You just want to sit inside of a closet with a computer and edit videos. I will make a closet for you. Actually, we have a closet. We could just put you in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need people to help edit. I was just saying to Robert, we're walking through the worship order this morning. There's six separate videos this morning. And that's normal. So we need people to help edit these videos. If you're interested in that, you can see John, who's actually back at the sound booth there. I didn't tell him that I'm going to put it. He's not in charge of all that, but he's a nice guy, and he's smiley. So talk to him, and he can then forward you to the right people as well. MC3 student, as Justin said, you know, we're in this kind of reboot phase, and we need leaders. We need to kind of reboot this whole thing and kind of get it started from scratch. And I've got I'm going to be leading through with some people and training and giving what you need. But maybe, you know, you're good at leading a discussion. That's a great way to serve students in 6th through 12th grade. Maybe you just like to be nice to people. Maybe just, I mean, come on. Nobody likes teenagers. My daughters are looking at me. Some people, no, I'm just kidding. You know, I mean, teenagers get a bad rap already. But just someone to say, hey, you know what? I'm here for you. And that leader is there to come alongside them and their parents. That's the MC3 student philosophy, is we're in this together. It's not just us, the leaders versus the parents. It's not the students versus the parents or students versus the leaders. It's all of us together and helping each other grow. And so if you're interested in helping with that, you can talk to me or to Jason Donaldson. And then finally, building and grounds. There is a lot of stuff that goes on around this building, and you know right away if it doesn't work. I mean, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, if the air conditioners were not on, you would know it. It would be a problem. We've got a parking lot that needs to be plowed. We have grass that needs to be mowed. So we're looking for mowers, plowers, painters. If you like to paint, if you like to fix things, we have things that are always breaking because our building's really old and it's a garage. So it's going to happen. We need people that are good at electricaling. We need people that are good at building things. We need people that are help with cleaning. If you're interested in any of those things, a way to serve at MC3, you can talk to Jeremy Lewis, who's our building and grounds coordinator. So those are just some ways to get plugged in and serve here at MC3. There's a lot of different things. It's not just like, oh, I have to either work with kids or be in the band. No, there's plenty of areas where you can serve depending on how God has gifted you and the talents and the abilities that you have. So that's that. And then moving on real quick, as far as our world, we talked about our attitude, our church, and then our world, and that's MC3 Missions. And I just want to share quickly, as Justin said, we partner with an organization called Forward Edge International. They're based in Vancouver, Washington. And we work with a ministry feeding program in Oaxaca, Mexico, called Trigo y Miel. It's for children and their families, and it's feeding these kids, giving them, at this point, I think they're up to 6 meals a week that they're able to give to these kids. We're in. That is missions for MC3. We don't have a bunch of missionaries everywhere. It's there, Trigo y Miel. And their main organization, like you said, Nicaragua is another site that they have, and they've been in a lot of, because of all the political civil unrest, they are hurting financially, and so they have asked us to help them out with that. And we're like, yeah, how can we come along board? So, again, the total was $1,250. If you want to help with that, see Justin. Talk to your Prime Group leader this week. If you did not have it today, they can hook you up with the right people. But MC3 Missions is what we do, and there's a couple parts. So, first of all, as a church, your giving, our church budget, supports Victor and Leti Velasco, who are the locals in Oaxaca that serve there, and we support them monthly. We support Tom and Wendy Hogan, who are missionaries that serve in Oaxaca. We support them from our church budget and your giving monthly. We also just give a general donation to Trigo monthly that they use for food and for other supplies at the facility. And we support Ale Hernandez, who is the new child sponsorship coordinator. We support her monthly. So we are sending a lot of money to that one location because that's how we can care for the world. And there's needs everywhere. But we're saying, let's just make a difference in one spot. And let me tell you, we are at MC3. The second way you can be a part of that is child sponsorship. Somewhere like 30 to 35, 40 of you sponsor kids that live in Oaxaca that are part of Trigo y Miel for 39, 37. Anybody? Come on. $30+ a month, and that is a real way. And the cool thing is with the next thing I'll talk about in a second, but making a difference in the lives of these kids, building that relationship. You send letters, they send letters to you. If you're interested in that, there's actually brochures out on the info table about child sponsorship through Forward Edge with 3Go Miel. And then finally, we also send teams. I think we have sent, like I said, 4 or 5 teams to Oaxaca to serve there, to come alongside of them and help meet their needs, help provide for them, paint things, fix things, care for things. And that's another way. Right now, I just being clear, because of where Forward Edge is, things are kind of on a, like, they're waiting for this banquet. Basically, God needs to come through in this banquet before they can begin looking officially into what next summer's trips are. But we would love to send another team down another time soon. But that's another way. And, of course, the cool thing about Forward Edge and the child sponsorship is that I think almost every time we have sent a team down, they are able to physically meet and go to the home of the child that they sponsor. You can't get that with other organizations. So that's just kind of a cool little perk. So that's how we care for our world. It comes from that C3 process. But in a club, so skip 2 more slides there. Yeah, 1 more. In a club, people may do a service product to feel good. In the church, people serve as a way of life. And that's just, it needs to be that way of life. It needs to be a lifestyle. Not we do when we have time because it's for fun, but because it's who we are and it's what we need to be doing as followers of Jesus. So I'm a little bit late. I apologize for that. I will pray here in a second. Just remember, next week is the 5th Sunday, so we are not here. Don't show up at the building. The doors will be locked. There'll be a sign saying, go talk to a Prime Group leader. We're having parties. The Prime Groups are having an opportunity to invite their friends just to say, hey, let's hang out. Maybe spend some time with other people that follow Jesus. And then 2 weeks later, the first weekend in October, we will start our new After God series, which we're going to be spending 2 months looking at the life of King David, and I'm pretty excited about that. So let's pray, and then you guys can get your kids and relieve those workers. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you have done for us, and thank you for your example by being the ultimate sacrifice, by giving, by caring for us with your life, so that we may have an example to follow. And I pray that is true for each person in this room. Whether, you know, it's not about MC3, it's about being a follower of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be people that serve as a way of life. So help us to do that. May that be our attitude. And out of that attitude, may we meet needs all around us. And may we continue to get into the messes and pray that you would give us the perseverance to keep going when those things get tough, because we know that there will be a reward and a benefit for doing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.